We're really happy of the nice turnout, and the girls are all excited about giving you a wonderful program. This is a little pinch hitting. Our coordinator, Annette, conveniently got laryngitis this week. It's been getting worse, so I offered. So if I make some mistakes, just bear with us. First of all, we'd like to open in prayer, and I'd like to ask Della Late if she would open her prayer.
For mothers and daughters, and mothers and families, and grandmothers and families, and helping you to all of us. We thank you for the ladies and the girls that work so hard planning and preparing the food and planning the program and the decorations that it took for them to do this for us today. Just bless them for their efforts. Bless each one. We pray that you'll give them the service today and the lunch today, and may we all say it was great. We thank you.
Amen. Would you all turn with me to page 567? 567. The melody is Faith of Our Fathers. The song is Faith of Our Mothers. 567. On the bottom of the page.
Faith of our fathers living still in cradle song and bedtime prayer in nursery.
Jesus, Jesus, who thought me.
Those some beautiful words. I'm going to ask Abby Stauffer to come.
I come to the garden alone, by the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses. With me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. He speaks, and the sound of his voice is so sweet, the birds hush their singing, and the melody that he gave to me within my heart is ringing. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. I'd stay in the garden with him, though the night around me be falling, and he bids me go through the voice of woe. His voice to me is calling, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known.
Okay, now Tiffany and Cassie, their cousins, are going to be saying a recital.
The Bible is the inspired and only infallible and authoritative written word of God.
There is one God, eternally existent in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. In the deity of our Lord Jesus Christ, in his virgin birth, in his sinless life, in his miracles, in his vicarious and atoning death, in his bodily resurrection, in his ascension to the right hand of the Father, in his personal future return to this earth in power and glory to rule 1,000 years. In the blessed hope, the rapture of the church at Christ's coming.
The only means of being cleansed from sin is the represent in faith in the precious blood of Christ. Reconciliation by the Holy Spirit is apostolic internal for personal salvation in water baptism and immersion, the reparative work of Christ on the cross provides healing of the human body in answer to believing prayer. The baptism in the Holy Spirit according is given to believers who ask for it. In the sanctifying power of the Holy Spirit, by whose indwelling the Christian is enabled to live a holy life, in the recreation of both the saved and the lost, the one to everlasting life and the others to everlasting damnation.
Now we're going to ask Carly to play the piano and Paula and Michelle and Molly to sing. Oh, excuse me, Melissa. Sorry. Thank you, girls. Enjoyed that. Now we're going to ask Rachel Mannon to play her harp. Thank you. Now we're going to be having a flannel graph. The girls have been working really hard. It's on the story of Ruth in the Old Testament. Melissa will be doing scene one with Carly's help. Carly will be doing scene two with Cassie's help. Cassie will be doing scene three with Abigail's help. Abby will be doing scene four with Rachel's help. Rachel will be doing scene five with Paula Rose's help. Paula Rose will be doing scene six with Molly's help. And Tiffany will be doing scene seven with Melissa's help. So we will not interrupt to introduce the children.
The first rays of the sun were lightening the morning sky in Bethlehem as Elimelech and his wife Naomi with their two sons Mahlon and Chilion started with slow feet up the village street. They had packs on their backs, for it was moving day for the family. They were sad to leave their home, dear homes and friends. But there was so little food to eat in their own land that people were going hungry. No rain had fallen for a long time. Little food could grow in the hard, dry soil. What food there was cost a great deal. So Elimelech had decided that they would move to the nearby country of Moab, where there was plenty to eat. But the people in Moab did not worship the one true God, as Elimelech's family did. Instead, they worshipped a handmade idol that they called Chemosh. Naomi was worried, what would life in Moab be like? Come, Naomi, Elimelech urged her. We won't be so far away from Bethlehem. Look across the valley. You can see the hills of Moab from here. When the famine in Bethlehem is over, we can come back.
10 years quickly passed away. What changes those 10 years had brought to Naomi? First, Elimelech, her husband, had died, and after that, her two sons. All Naomi had left were her two daughters-in-law, young women of Moab, whom her sons had married. One was Orpah, and the other was Ruth. Naomi loved Orpah and Ruth, and they loved her. Naomi had been kind and generous to them. It is true that the girls were Moabites and had been brought up very differently from the girls in Bethlehem. They had been taught to worship Chemosh, an idol which they could see. But in spite of that, they were drawn to Naomi's God because they could see that her faith in the living God gave her something which their idol Chemosh had never given them. But now only the three women were left in the family. What could they do? There was no one to take care of them. They couldn't get jobs, for women did not work outside the home as they do now. Naomi and her two daughters became poorer and poorer, and without her husband and sons, Naomi was homesick for Bethlehem. She wanted very much to be among her own people who worshiped the Lord God she loved. No wonder Naomi was glad when one day she heard that the food shortage in Bethlehem was over. Good crops were growing again, and everyone had enough to eat. Now I can leave Moab, where there has been so much sorrow for me, said Naomi. Now I can go back to my own home. We shall go with you, said Ruth and Orpah.
The two young women started out with Naomi, but Naomi knew how hard it was to leave one's home and go to a strange country. She stopped and looked at the girls. Return to your mother's houses, she told them. May the Lord bless you because you have been so kind to my sons and to me. May you each find happiness in the house of another's husband. Then she kissed the young women. Then they cried together. The girls had learned to love Naomi, and the thought of leaving her made them very sad. We will return with you to your people, cried Ruth and Orpah. No, no, replied Naomi. What use would there be for you going with me? I have no more sons for you to marry. We are very poor, and the life will be hard in Bethlehem. Then Orpha decided that she would go back to her mother's house to live among the people. She knew she kissed her mother-in-law goodbye, and she went back down the road as she just traveled. But Ruth held on to Naomi. Naomi told her gently, "Your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her God. You had better go with her." Still, Ruth held on to Naomi. "Don't beg me to leave you," she cried. "Wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you live, I will live. Your people shall be my people, and your God shall be my God. Wherever you die, I will die and be buried. May the Lord let nothing but death part you and me." When Naomi saw that Ruth was determined not to turn back, but that she had chosen to leave her old life no matter what would happen to her among the people of God, Naomi stopped urging her. The two women traveled on together, up hills and down again, through green valleys and over the rocky roads. They walked at last. They drew near a little village of Bethlehem.
Naomi and Ruth, tired and dusty from days of walking, came through the city gate and were at last in Bethlehem. But at first the woman of the town did not realize her. Then one of them said, "Why, isn't that Naomi, Elimelech's wife?" The news that Naomi was back flew from person to person, from house to house, from lane to lane, till quite a group was gathered around. "Can this really be the Naomi who left us 10 years ago?" the woman said in astonishment to one another. "She left us so happy and young and pretty. Now she looks old and sad, not like our happy friend Naomi." "And who is this pretty young woman with her?" Then Naomi told them what sad things had happened to the family since she had been away in Moab.
Ruth and Naomi came to Bethlehem in early spring, barley harvest time in that part of the country. That meant that the grain in the fields was ripe and ready to cut. Swiss, swiss, slash, slash. Up and down the field went some workers with shiny sickles. Down fell the golden grain in flat rows. Some men gathered it up and piled it in bundles called sheaves to be carried away. Several women and children followed the men. They walked behind the workers to pick up any stalks of grain that had been dropped. God had commanded his people to leave for the poor any grain that dropped on the ground or grew in the corners of the field. If the poor people carefully picked up every bit of grain, they could get enough to make their bread. Because they were very poor, Ruth said to Naomi, "Let me go and gather grain. Perhaps some farmer will let me follow the reapers in his field." "What a helpful girl you are, Ruth," said Naomi with a pleased look. "Yes, you may go." Ruth went first to the servant who was in charge. "May I follow the reapers in this field?" she asked. "Yes," he told her. Ruth thanked the servant and began at once to pick up stalks of grain. The sun's rays were hot and the field was dusty, but Ruth worked steadily all morning. Later in the day, the owner of the field, a rich man named Boaz, came out to see how the workers were doing. "The Lord be with you," he called to his workers. "The Lord bless you," they greeted him. "Wasn't that a lovely way for those who love God to say hello?" Pointing to Ruth, Boaz asked his servant, "Who is this new girl I see? I thought I knew everyone in Bethlehem, but I've never seen this lovely young woman before." "She is a stranger in our land," the servant answered. "She came back from Moab with Naomi. She asked if she might come after us in the field, and has been working hard all morning." "Oh, yes, I have heard about her," said Boaz, nodding his head. Then he added, "Tell those rough young men not to bother her." To Ruth, he said, "I am glad to have you work in my field and pick up grain after my workers. When you are thirsty, drink some of the water my men have placed under the trees. I have told the young men not to bother you at mealtime. Come and eat with us." Ruth was surprised at the kindness of this man whom she had never seen before. Gratefully, she bowed before him. Then she sadly asked, "Why are you so kind to me when I am a stranger to you?" Boaz smiled and said, "I have heard that you left your father and mother and your own land to live with us, who are strangers to you. I have heard how good you have been to Naomi and how you have come to trust the same Lord as we do. May the Lord God bless the work you are doing." How happy Ruth was to hear these friendly words. At lunchtime, Boaz saw that Ruth had plenty to eat. How pleasant it was to rest and eat in the cool shade. Boaz offered Ruth so much food that she could not eat it all, so she saved some of it to share with Naomi. After Ruth went back to work, Boaz spoke to his workers. "This afternoon, let her pick up all the grain she wants. Drop some handfuls on purpose so that she may gather them." Ruth worked hard till evening. Then she beat out the grain she had gleaned with the wooden club called a flail. When Ruth scooped together all the little kernels of grain, she had nearly a bushel of barley. Happily, she carried home the grain. How thankful Ruth was to the kind rich man. How glad she was that the Lord had made Boaz want to share his food.
Ruth brought the precious grain to Naomi. Then she handed her mother-in-law the little package of food. "I saved some of my lunch for you, too." "Oh, thank you, my daughter," said Naomi. "Where did you work today? Blessed is the man who has been so kind to you." "I worked in the field of Boaz," Ruth answered. "He is very kind. He spoke to me in such a friendly way, and he told me I could work in his field every day." Then Naomi told Ruth that Boaz was a relative of theirs. "It is good that you are working with his young woman," he said. So Ruth went day after day into the field of Boaz, and each evening she carried home enough grain for Naomi and herself. Ruth worked hard all during the harvest season and took good care of Naomi.
Ruth and Boaz must have seen each other often during those golden days of harvest. The better Boaz came to know Ruth, the more he loved her, and one day he married her. God blessed their family, and before long, he gave them a sweet little baby boy. How happy they were. Grandmother Naomi loved little Obed very much and helped them take care of him. How glad Ruth was that she had learned to love the Lord God. She was always glad that she had said to Naomi, "Your people shall be my people and your God my God." And her baby boy, Obed, grew up to be the grandfather of great King David.
Now we're going to ask Sarah Inlow to come and play for us. Well, that almost concludes our program. First of all, I want to say thank you to Annette for coordinating this mother-daughter banquet. Thank you to the girls. They really, really worked hard. Thank you to the mothers that sent the girls all year long. I really, really appreciate your faithfulness. I have a really wonderful bunch of girls. I do want to say Val is my assistant in Missionettes, and she's downstairs, and she's asked me for 5 more minutes. I want to also say that Annette also has 2 girls that are in her program, and that is Rebecca Mannon and Sarah Burton. That's about it, right? Okay. And we would like to have more girls with next year. So if you know any girls that need a girls' club, we love to teach. We love to do crafts. We love to do fun things together. And we like to learn God's word.